So let me take a hypothetical example. I come into your office and I am part of a married couple, either gender. I've got two kids. I have a business that I run myself. I've got some investments. I've got two cars. Things are looking good for my future income. So I come in and I say, where do I start?
Well, of course, the first step is education. Well, actually, the first step is I need something different, change in the mindset. Then the second step is education. And then the third step is a process we call structuring. It's not like an instant all at once. It's not like there's a bucket of water and you kick it over and fill it up with something different. It's more like a bucket of water, which is your old life, and then you grasp our structure. You see the whole picture through education. And by the way, we don't take money from anybody that doesn't understand it. We spend a lot of time with people to make sure they absolutely understand what they're asking for. As a matter of fact, the other day I had a fellow call me up and say, well, I heard you did this for so-and-so and I want the same thing, so where do I send the money? And I said, I'm not going to take your money until you understand what you're asking for. So he said, what are you saying to me? And I said, look, I'm not going to take your money until you can ask for what you want and know exactly what you're going to be getting and know that that's exactly what you want. Until you're at that point, I won't take your money. Well, how do we do that? Well, we start talking. And generally, we spend 3 or 4 interviews of 1 hour to 2 hours apiece before we'll take your money, unless, of course, you're very well educated already. The next step, once you understand what you're asking for, is you'll pick what's most important to you to take care of right away. We'll help you understand whether that's the right way to go first or not. But again, everything needs to be taken in certain steps. If you take things out of step, you might cause yourself an exposure. So the first step after the educational process, getting you on page, is you will pick that which is most important to you. For instance, you might say, okay, I want to take care of my portfolio first. And then we'll help you establish the foreign brokerage account in the name of a foreign entity, and then assist you in deciding how you will liquidate that portfolio onshore and move it to the offshore position in the least impactful way as far as tax and expenses.
Now we're beginning to get into the language of the structural elements, the modules. So if we can talk about some of the basic building blocks that may or may not apply to a given individual, just in a generic way, so that people will have some idea. It's like opening a box and seeing all the parts in there before you assemble it. I think this would be a good time to cover some of those basic things in terms of the types of structures, the types of legal entities which are available to be assembled for this strategy.
It's important to think of it like a sports team. For instance, you've got a shortstop and a first baseman and a second baseman, et cetera, et cetera. Each one plays their part. Each one has a specific area of the field they're responsible for, and they try not to overlap each other. In that way, for instance, you've got a corporation, sometimes known as IBC or International Business Company. You could have the Private Interest Foundation or PIF as a different component, common law trusts, statutory trusts, limited liability companies, S-Corp, C-Corps. All of these can be used in a structure depending on your particular needs.
Can you give us a thumbnail sketch of each of those different modules?
All right.
Which we may or may not as individuals need, but some of them we're going to need. So it's good to understand them all to a certain extent right at the start.
Okay. Usually when we're doing interviews over the telephone, we create a simple graphic. It looks like your average kite, like a diamond with a tail on it. And where the tail meets the kite, if you were to draw this out, write the letters Private Interest Foundation or PIF in there. Private Interest Foundation, this component we consider to be the hub of the wheel. Private Interest Foundation would be like Carnegie Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, etc. The global elite, if you will, established the foundation laws, dumped all their stuff into foundations, and then turned around and, as you know from the rest of this audio course, imposed paper money, an income tax system, and an enumeration at birth program, the three legs of socialism. But first, they put their stuff in foundations. So when Nelson Rockefeller sat in front of the Senate subcommittee to find out if he was going to be the first unelected vice president under Gerald Ford, the senator said, Mr. Rockefeller, how much did you earn last year? And he said, oh, $650 million or thereabouts. Wow, Mr. Rockefeller, that's quite a chunk of change. How much tax do you pay on something like that? Oh, I didn't pay any taxes on it. How can that be, Mr. Rockefeller? I don't own any of it. It all belongs to the foundation.
if I remember correctly, I think he did pay actually a little bit over $660 in tax on that year.
Wow,
and it's interesting,
$660 on
$600 million. And interestingly enough, this tradition is alive and well, because I think just this year Hillary Clinton was asked the same question by another committee, and she volunteered all the information the law required in the same way that Rockefeller did. And her, I think she paid a little more. I think she paid about $700
in
tax for last year. And that's because these people are doing the smart thing.
Exactly.
They're not breaking any laws.
Exactly. Exactly. Whenever you bump into anything legal, you're at a disadvantage, because I like to think of it as sword and shield handling. You've never practiced with the sword and the shield. If an individual were to devote, say, 2 hours a week for a year to studying law, and now a lot of your eyes are rolling up in your head, believe me, that 2 hours a week studying law for 1 year will yield you a severely, severely reduced expense for the rest of your life. And with a little bit of effort, you can save yourself hundreds of thousands of dollars in your entire lifetime.
Just to recap the foundation, let's say I want to set up a foundation that will help me to send out into the world my good, beneficial ideas and intentions, to be able to operate as a larger individual in the world without necessarily exposing myself to any kind of personal liability. The purpose of having a foundation is to be able to have that big character up there that represents me on the stage, the puppet stage, and it's going to say what I want the world to hear. And if I have a lot of good things that I want to teach the world, I can teach it through that voice rather than stand there myself and take all the paparazzi flashing the camera in my face.
Exactly. I know there's a few other interesting things about the foundation. Foundations are not involved in business. They don't buy and sell widgets. They don't make widgets. They don't buy and sell services, create services and sell them. A foundation is an others-directed entity. So, for instance, the foundation can be XYZ Family Foundation, and its beneficiaries can be the family. It could be dedicated to making sure that the XYZ family survive into the future, be educated and housed and medically attended, and that could be the purpose of the foundation. Another thing about a foundation is, unlike every other legal entity, a foundation owns itself. This is key, folks. For instance, if you considered yourself a taxpayer and you were to read the IRS code, you'd find out that if you have 10% or more controlling interest in a foreign entity, you are to report it on a 1040 form. Well, for those of you who believe that, that's what it says. Could you report the foundation? Absolutely not, because it's not your stuff. It belongs to itself. The foundation as a legal persona owns itself. If you were to write down what's in the foundation on a tax form, you'd go to jail in the United States, and you go to jail in the foreign jurisdiction as well, because it's illegal for you to reveal the contents of the foundation. And when that foundation sets up a corporation and the foundation is the registered owner of all the stock in the corporation, you can't report that corporation either on your tax form, because if you did, you would be violating the law, you would be committing fraud, and you could be penalized for it.
And this is a good thing.
This is a very good thing.
Okay.
You're forbidden from telling on yourself.
Exactly. So now let's look at the next part of the diagram. The foundation sits at the bottom of the kite. Where do you want to go next?
Oh, let's go to the IBC. Down at the bottom tail of the kite, remember the PIF sits where the kite tail meets the kite, where the diamond has the tail hanging off it, where the PIF is. At the bottom of the tail is where we draw in the IBC, or International Business Corporation. That International Business Corporation is the property of the foundation, which is the sole shareholder for that corporation. That private interest foundation can name a CEO, and of course you wind up being named as the CEO or general manager, power of attorney, for the IBC. The International Business Corporation can then go out and get a brokerage account. That brokerage account can trade anywhere in the world tax-free. Why tax-free? Because we set up the corporation in a jurisdiction that does not tax monies earned outside of that jurisdiction. So, for instance, if you chose Panama as your jurisdiction, you would not pay taxes for monies earned outside of Panama.
Are there any jurisdictions within the physical confines of the United States or North America that qualify for this type of...
Nevada and Wyoming qualify for that. If you're looking for an offshore corporation, go to Nevada. By the way, folks, let's understand something now. Offshore, onshore are jurisdictional, not geographical designations.
Very good. Okay, now the next corners of the kite. I'm curious.
Top point of the kite, write the letters LLC or Limited Liability Company. Now, by the way, we're using an LLC because it's simple. It could be an S corp, could be a C corp, could be any other kind of structure within the states. But this corporation at the top point of the diamond is what we call the statutory interface. It actually acquires a government number called an EIN, or employer identification number. It has the same number of digits as a social security number, and it makes it so that that LLC can do things like have a mortgage loan, buy a car on credit. It makes it so that the LLC or the corporate entity above can interface with the statutory authority and the statutory commercial venue here in the United States. Or I should say not here in the United States, but within the United States. Remember, within and without are jurisdictional, not geographical designations. You can have an offshore company in one of the sovereign 50 states. As a statutory interface, it allows you to become a debtor without encumbering yourself.
The LLC, then, is like on your baseball team, or in my jargon of the stunt double. The LLC is a specialist stunt double who does certain kinds of things. And what that stunt double, the LLC, the Limited Liability Corporation, does is it enters into agreements with the straight financial world that doesn't necessarily operate in this sophisticated way, but has you linked to your money and to the government through numbers and contracts and agreements, which you, as a private individual, no longer want to be bound by.
Exactly.
The LLC goes and does it for you.
Exactly.
At an arm's length distance, and then obeys the directions of the other structures on this kite diagram, and basically keeps its liabilities at a very, very low level.
Exactly.
We have now the Private Interest Foundation at the bottom of the kite, the IBC, the International Business Corporation, which is at the end of the tail of the kite, and at the top of the kite, we have the Limited Liability Corporation, the LLC. We've still got two corners and a dot in the middle, if I'm not incorrect.
Yes, that's true. So on the left point of the diamond, Trust A, on the right point of the diamond, Trust B, and these two trusts own the LLC. So let's stop and look at, okay, here I am. I'm the individual who's going to set up a structure, and I want to know what are my points of exposure. A foreign legal team has set up a private interest foundation. That foreign legal team has named a nominee board of directors. So your name doesn't show up anywhere there. That nominee board of directors has given you carte blanche power of authority over that foundation by naming you as a protector in a private document. It's not in the public registry. Then the foreign legal team established an international business corporation and registered all the shares as being owned by the foundation. And then the foreign legal team named you as the CEO and gave you a power of attorney over the IBC. Again, your name doesn't show up anywhere in the foreign jurisdiction except on the private internal documents of the legal team who are sworn to protect your privacy. By the way, unlike here in America where your lawyer now is required to squeal on you, in other jurisdictions that still respect our sovereignty, the legal teams are forbidden by law and severe fine and penalty of jail from talking about your structure. Once you're named as the protector and the CEO, you or whomever you choose to be the protector and the CEO of the foundation and the corporation, then what happens is our team at the office sets up two common law trusts for you. In other words, they're not really for you or by you. We've set up two trusts because we love the foundation so much that we want to make sure that it lasts into the future. So we set up two trusts and named two of your friends, which you chose, people you trust, not me, not my team, not anybody else, people you trust. Those of you out there who are familiar with trusts know the importance of what I just said. You tell us who to name as the trustees. Those two trustees, and by the way, this is all automated in our system, will craft a contract together agreeing to set up a limited liability company to benefit the foundation. If you look at your kite pattern, you'll notice that the connecting lines are lines of equity. So the two trusts have a beneficiary in common, the foundation. They have gotten together and set up a limited liability company, for instance, to establish a real estate portfolio with a positive cash flow to benefit the foundation. So those two trusts set up the Nevada Corporation. In Nevada, our representative there has established the LLC as the property of the two trusts. So it lists ABC Enterprises and XYZ Enterprises, Trust A, Trust B, as the owner of the LLC in Nevada. Again, your name doesn't show up. And by the way, neither do the trustees' names show up, only the entity names, the two trusts, XYZ Enterprises, ABC Enterprises, in Nevada.
Why two trusts?
There's a law called FIRPTA, Foreign Investment and Real Property Tax Act, FIRPTA. FIRPTA says that if the foreign entity owns real estate in America, then there's an automatic 30% withholding on transfer. So that's why we don't have the foundation or the IBC buy the property. That's why we have the LLC do it, because it's got an EIN, making it a domestic entity. So it's not a foreign entity. So we've just eliminated that 30% withholding. Now, there's another rule about the LLCs, and this is why it's important to be forward-thinking. About 4 or 5 years ago, we used to do these with one trust. But then I began to read that some of the states were saying that if an LLC or any other kind of entity is owned by a single entity or individual, then it's taxed at its root. But if the LLC is owned by two or more individuals or entities, then the LLC is treated as a pass-through or partnership for tax purposes, and the tax liabilities flow to the owners. Well, in this case, since both are common law trusts and they have no taxpayer ID numbers, the equity can flow from the LLC to the trusts. The LLC, if it chooses to file, will use a 1065 to report disbursements and issue K-1s to the trusts. And then the trusts, having no taxpayer ID numbers, simply trash that paperwork and pass the money on to the foundation, which is the beneficiary. So that's why two trusts.